Hello, welcome back to Camp Half Pod. We are your head counselors. I'm Erin, daughter of Athena.
And I'm Monica, daughter of Persephone. This week, we're discussing chapters 39 through 44 of The Sun and the Star.
We're almost done.
Almost there.
Like seven more chapters after this. I feel like this book, I mean, we haven't done a lot of episodes on it. Honestly, this is our sixth episode on it, and we'll be doing seven total. But it feels like, you know, we only just got to Tartarus.
We are meeting like Bob and Nyx and like having the main event happen, I guess, now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Which I guess makes sense. Usually that's kind of how his flow is in the Rick Riordan books. There's the big conflict and then the remaining chapters where it's like, where's everyone now?
True. I also think, you know, giving some credit to this book, it's a standalone book. And yeah. So he and his other books have had many different sections to build up the villain. In this one, he has to present the villain quite quickly. Defeat the villain and then do the where are they now? Are they happy?
Yeah. What lessons did they learn?
Yeah. I am not gonna lie. These sets of chapters, I felt a little insane. Like I feel like I felt insane during Trials of Apollo.
Yes, but it's a different flavor of insane though.
Exactly. It was like a kind of an insane of you just kind of keyboard smash some small plot points and you're like, okay, this one has felt insane of like, okay, so this is the plot. Like, this is the entire plot. Like, this is the villain you're presenting to me. This is their journey. Are you sure this is what you want to present to me?
I'm like, are you sure? Like, I feel like we could come up with something better, but okay. You know, how many people worked on this? How many editors reviewed this? I don't know.
I was kind of thinking of what Robert said on our episode last time when we were talking about, like, why they like this book so much. And it always bums me out when we're like, we like this book because we finally get, you know, gay characters, two characters we love for a lot. And so we will make exceptions for shitty plot points and weird deviations. Mm-hmm. It's the same way when you have, like, an actress who's being a representation for all XYZ minority, and you're like, I know we should be grateful in the sense of, like, this is our only minority, but this is what you're giving us. Like, this is the representation you're giving us. I hate everything that you do. You're not talented, but I have to like you and support you. Because you are the only thing that I get. And now this is not as intense as that. Like, I don't think I hate it. I think... Again, I'm just, these sets of chapters, I feel like could have been so interesting. You have two of the most interesting characters in the entire PJO universe. And you have one of the most subjectively interesting villains in the most interesting, like, terrain environment. And it was kind of like, oh.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just a setup. Like, it's too much on a pedestal. I don't know. And the pre-established, like, using Nyx, who is in theory a very interesting villain, but we've already established that she can be defeated with a brochure from Heroes of Olympus. So, like, that just makes her... And that was an interesting plot point in Heroes of Olympus in that, you know, it was like, oh my gosh, Nyx. And then it was kind of funny how they just outsmarted her. But to build a whole book around said villain is interesting. But I totally get, like... there's been so long of just not having any gay characters in any, especially like very popular mainstream middle grade fiction that having that is really cool. And I do feel like sometimes people are like, well, I'll take it because I'm not getting anything else. And that's sad.
Yeah, and it's like, this is the best that we've gotten ever, so therefore we appreciate it. That being said, what we're going to be talking about on this episode is we finally find Bob, and we're going to face off with Knight herself. Also, we might have to take a paternity test.
Who's the father? Okay, these ones I feel, I mean, we're only doing 6 chapters again because there's only like 13 left. And these went by pretty fast. We'll see how long this episode is. We'll see what we get distracted by. Alrighty. So I had chapters 39 through 41. After Nico and Will get a little bit of sleep in, they're in Damison's hut in the swamp. Small Bob, they wake up. Small Bob lets them know that it's time to go once again towards Nyx and Bob. Small Bob still seems to have an idea of the way and able to lead them there. They walk for what feels like hours, leaving behind Damison's empty hut. The air grows colder and they feel more and more disoriented, which they think is because they're getting closer to Nyx's physical location and like the House of Night. Nico and Will do get some time to talk during this. Naturally, they talk about Nico's mommy issues, but they're basically, Will is talking about how the singing the songs that his mom wrote and performed brings him comfort. And then he asks about Nico's mom if he ever thinks about her. And he does have very distant memories of being loved by his mother. And then it kind of, he's kind of like, yeah, but I forget a lot of my memories because of PTSD. And Nico and Will are like, okay, let's focus on the positive things. And they try to, he tries to, and Nico also is simultaneously trying to ignore the fact, he just mentions that he feels like he's being followed by a shadowy figure this entire time. The landscape then continues to change as they walk further. And eventually they reach the center of a clearing that Nico recognizes. He remembers seeing Aklis in a dream there, who, as we recall, told him he was, like, too sad for her. It's really depressing. Poor Nico. And this means he must be near Nyx because Nyx is Aklis's mother. It gets so dark and dusty that they can barely see anything, and then before they know it, Small Bob comes to a stop, and Nico looks up and sees darkness everywhere. Like, it's... Once again, when he is mentioning, because he mentioned in the last time he was in Tartarus, being with Nyx and near the House of Night and how, like, just so disturbing everything is in the sense that he almost can't describe it on the page. Will, however, doesn't seem to see it yet and tries to walk into the, quote, eternal nothingness, which I was like, that's a cool band name.
Ooh, that is right? A cool band name.
Right? The void, the eternal nothingness, the pit of chaos. They should come out of Tartarus with a metal band.
Each player of the band has one of those titles.
Yeah. I mean, Will can sing. I don't know if he can do, like, screamo music, but Child of Apollo, he can do it all. Yeah, he can do it all.
Yeah, why does Apollo focus on, like, jazz and pop? I would have loved him to do some death metal.
Yeah, he did rap and that was not good. We don't want rap. He did try out rap, but we didn't see death metal. Could have. Nico assumes that the veil must still be over Will's eyes, which hides the path to Nyx's palace from him. Nico tells Will to trust him as they have to walk across the path over the pit of chaos, and Will can't see any of this. But as they start walking and Will's like holding on to Nico and letting him guide him, he does start to hear the pit speaking to him, telling him to jump. And Nico's like, you're not gonna, right? And Will's like, no. Nico's like, oh, because I would. It's a little tempting, you know?
Need a slight suggestion and then suddenly I'm over the edge.
Yeah, and Nico's like, you could just like make a joke about it. I'd be like, whoop.
Bye.
Into the chaos. They then approach the House of Night, and soon as they get closer, Will starts to see it, and he's like, oh god, it's Nico, and is very freaked out. It is the house made of hundreds of black beetles and bats and darkness. I really do find that, you know, it's just like bugs. The image, though, of Nico, like, approaching the door and, like, reaching out to grab it and then being like, oh, it's all bugs is very creepy.
Super creepy. But also, I think about, like, insulation and how much heating this costs.
Well, but it's like she likes the cold. That's she doesn't. True. It's probably just kept cold.
Did you think she's too poor to afford, like, stones and wood and
removable building materials? Last time you were, or a few episodes ago, you were like, she doesn't have a job, doesn't make money, she's just bored, she's broke.
Yeah.
Honestly, kind of a relatable queen.
I know. She's building her house out of the things that she digs up in her backyard.
Yeah.
And bats for some reason.
Yeah. And bats, yeah. I don't know where she got those.
Wouldn't the bats eat the bugs?
Probably.
So your house is just destroying itself.
Maybe that's what's so disturbing, is it looks like the house is eating itself, but it's actually just the bats eating the bugs.
This is actually all because Nyx is going through housing crisis, because her house keeps eating itself.
Housing, even in Tartarus, housing is unaffordable.
Yeah.
This is a problem.
We should address this to the council.
The Council of Zeus. What do you do?
He'd listen, be like, Nyx is so poor. She has to dig for bugs to build her house. And for some reason, she has also chosen bats. Nobody has asked her to use bats, but she's using bats, forgetting
for
that
the
bats
aesthetic.
Eat bugs.
Maybe the bat poop provides insulation.
She's gonna get like Ebola.
She's gonna get a disease.
The amount of diseases that come from bats is insane.
I would love to see you meet Nyx. I feel like any justification she has for her life, you'd be like, you're poor.
You make poor decisions. Get it together.
Oh my god. What a beautiful house she has. I do find every time they're like, it's so scary. And then I'm like, it's bugs. I mean, granted, I would scream and run away from a house made of bugs.
100%.
100%. That would freak me out.
But it would be more of like a, bitch, you live like this? That's gross. Rather than like a, this is melting my eyeballs.
Yeah. I wonder if, you know, where's Apollo? He can like win over the big ants. He could have won over these beetles. He could have sang to them. That should have been their angle, is to like to mobilize the bugs of the house and have them attack Nyx.
Ooh. But does she eat bugs? She
probably
who eats bugs.
She probably does. It's probably her food. It's a snack off the wall.
Whenever she's bored, just like drags her fingers down the wall, takes a handful. Sometimes a bat's there.
Which is apparently often that she's bored. She has time to make this elaborate prison for Bob. Though I guess being a god would be kind of boring, because like you don't have the constant pressure of death looming over you. You know, and you don't have to really worry. I mean, she doesn't have to worry about money, does she? Maybe like this is her side project. This is how she gets fulfillment.
As a concept, because I feel like the gods fight with each other and then go and have babies with mortals.
Because
they're bored. Nyx bullies 12-year-olds.
Nico is 16 now. He is a young man. He's forever 12 in my mind.
I know. He's like 8 in my mind. But Nyx goes and bullies 16-year-olds.
Yeah, people have different coping mechanisms, I guess, for boredom.
For immortality.
Yeah, for immortality. You know, what would you do?
Not that.
Yeah.
I could live like a really lavish lifestyle and have a nice ass house and not, you know, have a house
not made of bugs.
Yeah. Buy better pants than my galaxy leggings.
Oh, yeah. Gotta love it. She has an aesthetic she's working with, and you know, it's fine. All right, so then after we insult, if we were there, we'd just be like, this is your house, we're leaving.
We'd bully her into making us a mansion out of, like, marble.
Ooh. I feel like she could do it.
She's easy enough to be tricked by a brochure. I'm sure I could hurt her feelings enough to make her, like, have to prove that she actually has some wealth, and she'd build me a house, and I just lock the door.
Like, it's mine now, thank you so much.
Goodbye.
So Nico and Will then pass through the doorway into the House of Night, and they find on the other side an enormous pulsing regeneration pod.
It's a Bob pod.
They find a regeneration Bob pod with Bob in it, and he's struggling.
No.
And then Nico takes some time to describe Nyx's garden, which I thought was interesting because it's almost the opposite of Persephone's. Everything is kind of dead and gnarled and twisted and full of insects. I do like that she takes the time to have a garden inside of the house of night and darkness. She's like, you know what we need? A garden. It's just very disturbing. And Bob has a view, at least. Bob in his Bob pod is, I'm gonna just keep saying that, is stuck in an eternal state of changing. He keeps going back and forth between his Bob form and his Iapetus form, so like janitor and then evil titan. And he's forever stuck in the pod, constantly getting torn apart and like each version of himself getting ripped apart. They try to break Bob free of the membrane. Again, these words, ugh.
I know.
But nothing works. Nico tries to stab it. Will tries to sing at it, which I like their two skills. It's like, we're really good. The Apollo is coming through with this
I know,
child.
He is his father's son after all.
I know. And Nico does have a moment where he like puts his hand on the membrane, which is gross. But he kind of like connects with Bob for a moment. And Bob's like, you came, my sun and my star. And Nico's like, you're what? And then Bob turns back into Iapetus and is going through all that he's going through. Bob tells them while he's in his Bob form that it must be the both of them. He says his sun and his star again. And Nico's still like, I don't really get that, but I guess that's us. So together, they simultaneously stab and sing at the Bob pod. I love it. It's such a nod to Trials of Apollo. And Will starts to burn. Like, he's not just glowing. He's burning. Like, he's a giant star. Nico describes him as one of those red giant stars. Bob then breaks out of his pod. But then Nyx appears, and she unfolds her wings, which I had a moment. I was like, she has wings? I forgot about
that. Too focused on the pants.
I was. That's so cool. Maybe she's the bat. She's the bat all along.
She's the bat.
Yeah. And she reveals an army of monsters behind her. And it's pretty much like all the monsters we've seen before. We have the Cynocephali and the Telkines, Pegasi, Scorpions. Nico describes it as a Tartarus version of the 12 Days of Christmas, which I would love to see that written out. A notable monster that is there, though, is our friend Dr. Thorne, the Manticore, who had a degree that we spent a really long time being like, what did he get his degree in?
He's a graduate degree. He wrote a thesis.
And this is where he is, in Tartarus. Like, what is going on? I mean, Percy did kill him. I guess he's just been, like, hanging in Tartarus.
I feel like that is, like, a good analogy for, like, the economy now. He spent all of his time getting his thesis. He probably had to defend his dissertation. He had a job briefly, but now, what did his degree get him? He's, like, home with mommy, living with mommy.
Are you, like, projecting onto Dr. Thorne right now?
Listen, it's hard out here, kiddos.
We're actually siding with Dr. Thorne in this economy.
Maybe he should. You know what? He deserves to be mad. He's allowed to be mad.
Yeah.
Is it
he's
weird?
Probably still paying his student loans.
Is it weird that after all of his work and his graduate work, he decided to focus on bullying at the time of 8-year-old? Yeah, that was hella weird.
Weird, yeah.
Maybe, you know, his actions have consequences, and that consequence is he has to live in mommy's basement.
Her bug basement. Bug-infested basement.
Yeah.
He also doesn't listen to his mother, which, you know, big no-no. He has a personal and vendetta against Nico. As we recall, he like, taught Nico in school. What subject? I have no idea. So much so that he disobeys Nyx's direct orders to wait, because as a classic villain, she's like, I want to play with my food a little bit. I'm going to torture this guy. And Dr. Thorne just tries to kill Nico. He just, like, goes at him. And then Nyx sends him away and, like, snatches him up in what Nico describes as a black hole. And then he poofs away. So much for Dr. Thorne and all his hard work.
He's in timeout.
Yeah, he's in timeout now. Nyx immediately makes herself less threatening by saying, the brochure's most have worked, because Will is there. She's like, you brought a friend. I'm so glad. Like, we're any day now, it's going to be lively down here. Tourism will be booming again. Maybe she is broke. It's the economy.
It's the economy. She is actually paying off her stupid son's student loans.
Yeah.
No one told him to get that many degrees. He just had to watch the kid.
He actually has like 5 degrees.
He collects them like Buster Bluth. Yeah.
And then, oh, she does also have some of her kids hand out some Tartarus brochures to them. And her children aren't even that into this. Like, Hypnos and Nemesis are both there, who we know, like, have children at Camp Half-Blood. They don't seem that invested, but Nyx is their mom. So they're like, we just do what she tells us. We think this brochure's stupid. And they give it to them. Which immediately, again, discredits Nyx, in my opinion. Like, she comes kind of scary with her wings, and then she's like, did you read my brochure? Nyx orders her monsters to kill Will and Bob, but Bob and Small Bob fight back. Will and Nico fight together. They're like, we have to be the sun and the star together. And Will sings while fighting, just like his dad. Will eventually, in the midst of this, gets so mad at Nyx. He's like, stop making my boyfriend have nightmares. And in anger, he sends out this giant ray of light that genuinely catches Nyx off guard and singes her wing. Naturally, that makes Will pass out because he just like had a huge burst of power. She yells at Nico. I thought this was a good line. It was so dramatic. She says, did you think your paltry trauma and your brooding gothic sensibilities were any match for this? I am the darkness, and you will never return to a world you don't belong in. And I added my notes, like, if someone was like, your paltry trauma and your brooding gothic sensibilities, like, I'd just give up. I'd be like, damn.
You read me so well, yeah.
You read me so well. Like, okay, you win. But those are my chapters. I like the mentioning of the shadowy figure following Nico, because that comes back later as we learn what that shadowy darkness is that's been following him. And I like that he notices it in this moment where he's saying to Will, like, I'm going to focus on the positive things. Let's not talk about my PTSD. But then he sees this thing following him, and it's like an extension of his PTSD that's always looming. And I thought that was pretty cool. Otherwise, my other note is that I think Nyx is the worst PJO villain we've seen in all of them. Like, she is not scary.
Yeah. I mean, we've spent a lot of time.
She could have been really scary. Yeah. But yeah.
We have spent a lot of time just talking shit, because I think, again, she could have been really scary, and I think it's kind of disappointing that they've kind of reduced her to be more of a caricature of a scary character. I also understand that way she doesn't have to like take up the whole book. She's just kind of a looming idea, and it's more about Will and Nico's relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because I know we did this thing. We like... made a lot of fun of Gaia too, because her methods were just questionable. But yeah, I find like in all of the different like major villains in these books, like Kronos is a fantastic villain, especially as like paired with Luke. And I honestly did like the Triumvirate. We made a lot of fun of them, but they're very real. Like, they're very much villains, people, human beings in the real world in power that are like those men. And that part of them is scary. Guy, the female villains. Rick doesn't do a good female villain. We need better female villains.
I would assume that they would be scarier almost. Like, he has the opportunity to make them so interesting and scary. Like, almost like Hera as a villain. She's kind of not a villain, but she's also not a hero. She was so complex and interesting. That if he had taken that extension and made a villain in a similar grain, like, oh, Gaia, like, there were a lot of times where we were like, yeah, you know, the earth, like, the way that we treat the earth does kind of suck. I kind of understand where she's coming from. But I also want to exist, so that's not fair that you're wiping out our existence. So I think they could have made, I don't know, I thought Nyx could be a very interesting character of, like, having better motives than just, I don't like change.
Yeah. Who does, Nyx? Gotta get used to it. Change is a part of life. Changes.
All right, I have chapters 42 through 44. So Nyx is actively squeezing the life out of Nico as he scrambles towards an unconscious Will. Bob is fighting off Nyx and the monsters with his broom, but the power of the dark... I kept forgetting what it was called. It's the Mansion of Night. But I was like, the Dark House, the House of Darknesses. I like kept calling... I went back and changed once I read what it was actually called. But I was like, House of Darkness, Nighttime House, House of Horrors. I like
the just Sleepy kept- Time House.
Sleepy Time House.
The Night Night House.
Bug House.
The Bug House, yeah.
But the Mansion of Night is calling to Will, and it's forced. It's creepy. It's calling to Will to give up and lose hope, and he is. And he tells Nico that the prophecy is now fulfilled. Will doesn't have any energy to fight back. He's not willing to take the ambrosia Nico's offering him because it's the last piece, and he thinks Nico needs it more. Nico then basically bullies him out of losing hope. He's like, who are you to give up? Like, you are the son of Apollo. Like, you've survived this long to what give up now? And reminds him of who he is. And basically also reminds him of their promise to each other. Like, that's the thing that really brings Will out of the stays, is that he promised Nico that they would exit Tartarus together. Nico notices at this moment that none of the monsters are fighting them. They're easy pickings. So they're just like lying on the ground. Nyx has a hold on them, but everyone is just watching. That's because someone has lit the Mansion of Night on fire.
Nice.
So Bob is like, we gotta go. The distraction won't last long. Nico assumes it's Bob, but Bob says, I didn't do it. Grabs Nico and they start to run. Nico realizes that they're now in a different spot than when they entered, and he realizes that Nyx's realm moves, and now they're looking at the Cocktus and at Cocotus? How do you say that word?
I don't know. I remember we really struggled with Cocktus? This one.
Cocktus? 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 Cocktus. Yeah. Well, the River of Lamentation and the river, yeah, the rivers and the River of Pain. So they're right at the edge of the cliff looking at these rivers. They realize they have to go into the rivers, and they talk about how it will be impossible and painful and it would suck, but they've done a lot more than that and they're going to survive, so they're going to do it. Unfortunately, Nyx is furious because someone lit her bug house on fire. Now she's homeless, so she has to chase after them. She's like, how dare you do that? And Bob is like, I didn't do it. I didn't set your house on fire. You should ask one of your kids. Nyx thinks that this is a distraction, and she still accuses Bob of doing it. But her kids are kind of quiet and a little bit, you know, on the side about it. So who knows? Bob then explains. Now, this is like the part where I was like, okay. So Bob then takes the time to explain to the goddess of the literal embodiment of nighttime that, you know what, change is okay.
Yeah.
And Nyx is like, no, I'm perfect. The nighttime is perfect. And so needing to change means there's imperfection that you need to evolve, and that your previous self wasn't good enough. And that's not true because I'm perfect and I don't need to evolve. So therefore, you're not allowed to evolve either. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
The levels of, like, disillusion, of it's delusion. She's, yeah.
It's crazy because the idea that she's immortal, she's been around for several thousand eras, right? Of, like, the golden age, humans being created, all of these things happening. And she's like, well, change is bad.
The golden and the era. The lover golden era.
The age is what I meant, not era. She also then turns her attention to Goat Nico because she's like, you have to stay. She's been feeding on his dreams with the main fear she's been feeding on. And I was like, this 10 million year old creature is beefing with a goth 15 year old. It's so crazy.
What did she call him? She called him a brooding gothic.
Yeah. She goes to her. Anyway, I'll get
she's
to
obsessed.
That.
She's obsessed.
And she's like basically been able to feed on his fear that he truly belongs here. He has never belonged up on the top with his friends outside. But this is not even in the underworld. This is literal Tartarus. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. You belong in the underworld, but Tartarus? But she's like, you belong here. You are darkness. The fear and the pain you have felt your whole life is just a symptom of the fact that you belong to here with me or whatever. Then Bob turns to him and reminds Nico of how he helped him, and that's why Bob was able to resist Nick's while he was in the Bob pod, because he kept remembering how Nico was kind to him and Nico saved him, and that he knew Nico was coming for him, and so that Bob was always going to fight for Nico no matter how much Nick was trying to force him to be a certain way. So they decide they're going to go. They're like, we're going to actually bounce. I don't really want to fight with you anymore. They can't fight all of the monsters. They're kind of aware of that. But before they leave, Nyx has something else up her sleeve. She's like, I am the mother. So Nico, meet your children.
I read that and I was twist. Like, what are you talking about?
You're like, you did what now?
I was like, that was like the police sirens are going off. Like, this is a minor. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So Nico and Will see all of these creatures. They're all like mix of monsters. They're skeletal. Some have cyclops eyes. They're like a mix of a horse. There's like tens of them. Tens of them. They are cacodemons. Mm-hmm. So they are personification of negative emotions and feelings. So I was like, she was shopping for the most emo kid she could find to make his babies. Like, yep. She's going to Hot Topic, but instead of shopping for leather capes like Nico is, she's shopping for a baby daddy instead. Like, what a weird vibe. What a loser.
Trying to find the most. Nyx is a loser. Trying to find the most traumatized child possible. And it's like, perfect. She's a loser. Baby. She's a predator now.
She's a predator.
Leave him alone.
And so Will's like, we gotta go, but Nico's like, I'm gonna be the father that steps up. I can't abandon my children.
Good for him. You know? Good for him.
I was reading this, I was like, what are you talking about? It's like, I can't leave my weird demon babies.
Honestly, I get it.
I may have just found out I'm a father, but I've been a daddy for life. I was just like, I can't stand this at all. Anyway. So these weird demon babies, there's jealousy, isolation, guilt. He touches them and he remembers the feelings, like the moment. Like, jealousy is the moment he watches Annabeth and Percy have a moment together and being intimate. When Will notices someone else's muscles and he gets jealous. The guilt and the loneliness, shame is in the form of Cupid because of getting outed by Cupid to Jason, mm-hmm. and many others. As Nico's staring at them all and he's claiming them, he starts becoming angry because Nick's got it all wrong. And so he decides to draw his sword and charge. So now we get like a little bit of a flashback because we need to switch over to Will's point of view. So Will is horrified. He's like, I guess I'm a stepfather now.
Feels like I wasn't prepared for this.
But he brings up the point of why we think Nyx is such a loser. He's like, Nyx has now literally personifies Nico's trauma. And he's like, that's really uncool. Like, everyone has trauma. Why are you picking on this one kid who clearly has already been through so much and you're just feeding off of that? Like, what a loser.
Mm-hmm. She's bored. She's a bored lady.
She's a bored old lady. And so when Will starts getting nervous as Nico is interacting with his children, but Will sees Nico's face change, and he immediately can read his boyfriend, which I thought was adorable. He sees the expression and knows that Nico's angry now. This is no longer like Nico's going to succumb to whatever Nyx is saying. Nico's going to fight back. So he sees Nico pull out his sword, and he charges Nyx. This is also a sense of relief for Will because he was worried that Nico's going to be like, I have to live here forever and raise my children, make sure they get a good education.
He's a working mom with two jobs.
Oh, man. And now in this moment, as Nico is literally attacking Nyx and charging, Will sees that Nico is not who Will even thought he was. Like, Nico may be the son of Hades, death and darkness and all those things. That's how he was born and what the life he was given, but he's changed it. And now she sees him glowing in a very similar way that Will glows when he fights, almost like the sun. And it's just different. It's a different glow. It has like a different twist, a different flavor on it.
And perhaps he is glowing like the star.
I thought Will was the star because he's like a Will red
the sun.
That's what I wanted to ask you. He's the
sun god. I don't know. But that's my assumption.
If he's the red, like glowing like a red giant, I thought as the sun is a star anyway. So they're just both stars.
That's true. It should have just been called the star and the star.
Star.
It's like wolf. Remember that?
Throwback. Basically, Will is seeing Nico choose a different path for himself. He's doing that to and for himself. Will wants to be of help. He's like, I am the son of Apollo. He's done feeling sorry for himself. He's the son of Apollo who has survived this long without any son. He is one of four people who have survived Tartarus, and he's also really angry.
Ooh, what if Will is the star? Because he survived without the sun because Nico's the sun.
But he's been surviving because of Nico.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, because Nico's his son.
Oh, that's so cute. Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Or should we say star? Because they're both stars.
They're both stars. Mm. Well, because you said like Will looks like a red giant. And yeah. Then I was just like, oh, okay, interesting. Like what kind of...
So is Will the star?
Yeah. I don't remember if a red giant is a sun. Our son is
I actually
giant.
Think it is.
It
but
is, right? So
I couldn't tell. Someone taking like freshman year.
I know, 101.
Science class will be able to answer this. Yeah.
Yeah, we just I haven't touched astronomy in a long time.
Yeah, same.
Will is so angry that he decides to give Nyx hay fever, which is something nice. Apollo did, actually. Mm-hmm, it was on accident. Mm-hmm. He was trying to bring up a plague, but he couldn't because he didn't have his powers. So now Nyx is sneezing a lot and is really irritated. So Nyx unleashes the Kako demons onto Will, and they attack by biting and clawing at him, drawing blood. He falls over and he feels himself failing and not able to fight back. And then he hears, stop. And then the chapter ends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot of notes because I put a lot of notes in line with my summary.
Yes,
because I was reacting as I was reading it. I do like this idea that you get your, if you, like, you have to go through trauma. Already sucks, but at least you get a free pet out of it.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
I like that too. That's like the image that I, or the overarching thing that I really liked in this book. And I feel like it's in the next episode we do, it's more so, but I like the characterization of like your trauma as like these external little creatures that you have to kind of like respect as their own little things, but also like separate from yourself. I think that's pretty cool. Someone went to therapy who wrote this book.
Yeah. Exactly. You have like this companion. Like it's not always a bad thing. Like these are things that are kind of thrust upon you. You don't get a choice in it, but it becomes a companion to you, and you learn to live with it, and you learn to take care of it and treat it in the way that it needs. I think that's, and if it's like suddenly becomes cute and affectionate, that's like a cute idea.
Yeah, it's like a. Like a traumatized animal, you know?
Yeah, it's the opposite of an emotional support animal.
Yeah. It's like every dog I get. I'm its...
It's an emotional draining animal.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of my other notes are I'm just like really mad that Nyx is kind of lame. Because I think Nico is so cool. The moment he draws his sword and he's glowing and he's like raising the dead. So cool. His power is incredible. His wardrobe, impeccable. He's a father now, you know? He's really bringing it to the table. And this is the storyline he gets. He has a cool-ass boyfriend who is, like, a super cute, like, opposite vibe of him. Like, how adorable. And this is the storyline he gets. I'm just so mad about the villain. I just think that was such a bummer.
Yeah, I feel like that's, and I don't think that bothers a lot of the readers. Like, some of the readers are like, I'm just reading it for Will and Nico, which is great. I think as we've established, we love a good villain. And when yes. the villain isn't good, it's really hard for me as a reader to, like, take the story as seriously.
Yeah, exactly. You think that I'm going to be harassed? The difference between being scared and, like, driving an entire plot versus, like, this is a nuisance. This person's more of a nuisance than anything.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do our lightning bolt questions. For this one, I feel like we've probably gotten questions that have to do with these chapters, but we're just gonna have to, like, play catch up on them at some point. Okay, so my question, in one of the, like, first chapters I did, they mentioned that Will had packed a lot of snacks for Tartarus, including Kit Kats, golden Oreos, a granola bar, and a banana. So what snacks would you pack for Tartarus? Just, like, you can't have, like, full meals. What little snackies?
100% bananas. I feel like everything I do in my life, yeah. I'm like, can be fixed by eating a banana. Potent, and then you have, like, a peel, but at least then it's also biodegradable, so I can just kind of toss it, and I don't have to think about, like, I have to now carry out trash. That I wonder, do you think Tartarus has, like, a carry, like, pack in and pack out policy?
I hope so. I feel like it's a fragile ecosystem.
Yeah, you just, like, litter everywhere. Say with
the banana, like, wouldn't it go bad in that heat?
That's,
like,
true.
It might get kind of nasty, though. They seem like they're still... They still have their banana. Might smell weird.
Yeah. Mm. Might brown really fast.
Yeah.
Protein bars, like heavy, high protein bars. I think a lot of those. I would probably want, like, something sweet, like a chocolate once in a while, because I would want something to feel joy. But I'm very particular about my desserts, in the sense of, like, if I'm going to have a sweet treat, I have to, like, be able to sit down and enjoy it. Like, I build time around having a dessert, which is good, because then I just won't have it. If I know I can't, like, sit down and enjoy it, I just won't have a dessert.
Okay. So you'd have protein bars, banana.
Yeah. Maybe an apple. All?
And an apple. Okay.
Something peanut butter based for sure, because I love peanut butter.
Like a peanut butter protein bar.
Mm-hmm. Or even just like peanut butter sandwiches that I've packed if I can. Nice. Or like apples and peanut butter.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking, so my, like, joy thing would be Sour Patch Watermelon. I feel like that would just, you know, motivate me to stay alive and not jump into the pit of chaos. Because I'm concerned about the fruit getting hot, I would pack those little fruit squeezies that I know are for toddlers, but I buy them in bulk at Costco for me. They're great, and they have ones with, like, vegetables in them too, so then I'm not going to get... like scurvy down there. And then also, like, a protein bar situation would probably be on my list. And then trying to think if there's a fourth snack. I feel like, honestly, like a jar of peanut butter also. Just, like, get a little protein. It's kind of sweet. I can eat it with my with my protein bar. That's all. Okay. My next question is, what kind of bugs would you make a house out of?
I get really creeped out by, like, mealworms and centipedes, like things that have too, like, many legs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can do, like, 4, sometimes 6 legs is okay. I understand most bugs have 6 legs, so that makes sense. I feel like I'm usually okay with ants. I feel like growing up in California and then also just going and visiting tropical places a lot, I have dealt with ants a lot. And so they don't creep me out as much. They just kind of make me feel bad for them most of the times. Even, like, the big ass ants, the ones that are, like, the size of your finger.
Oh.
I never try to squish an ant. Like, I always feel so bad when I do. So
really?
I think, yeah. I just, like, I don't know. They don't, like, I understand that they're technically pests and they are really annoying once you're in your house because you can never get rid of them. But I don't know. I've always had, like, I think Bug's Life fucked me up. And I'm like, they're unionizing.
I mean, you know that I've publicly proclaimed I had a crush on Flick, so, like.
That's true.
Yeah, but I don't think I'd want ants in my bug house. I don't know.
Butterflies?
Ladybugs would be cute.
Aww.
I want a ladybug house. There it is. I was tempted to say worms just for the sake of it, but I wouldn't want that. It's too, like, soft and squishy.
Yeah.
So ladybugs would be cute because, like, I could have all the multicolored ones.
Ooh, pretty house.
Kind of like a rainbow pretty house. Yeah. Different vibe than Nick's. We'd have competing. We'd be neighbors, actually. Like people at Christmas that compete with their decorations. That's us with our bugs.
Like ladybugs and like beetles, because beetles are really pretty. Some of them have like beautiful coloring and just make your house like super pretty. Everyone's gonna be like, what tile is that? And I'll be like, it's beetles and they're alive.
Come touch it. Ew.
No. All right, I have a question. So I was going to ask, we don't need to talk about what they are, what your Kakko demons are. I feel like that's diving too deep into it. But would you think that they're more like animals, like a pet, like a dog that follows you around? They're more like a fantasy creature, almost like scarier and kind of like hide in corners. Or they're more humanoid, like inside out emotions kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. So you know what I always imagine, I realized I imagine for these is I imagine them looking like in my neighbor Totoro, the little soot guys.
Oh, in Spirited Away?
Aren't they in... They're also in Totoro.
Are they?
The soot guys. And they are in Spirited Away, too, I believe. Yeah. I imagine kind of like that, like a little, like, circle with eyes.
So cute.
But I would like mine to be more animal. I fear realistically they would be more humanoid. It would just be me, actually. It's my own. No. Fantasy creatures, I don't think. I would want mine to be little, like, little squishies that, like, I would pat on the head and make them feel better.
That'd be so cute.
Like, little Pokemon, actually, is kind of what I'm picturing. Like, animal-ish creatures. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the cover of Drake's album For All the Dogs is? I don't listen to Drake very much, but there's a couple songs I do listen to, and it's from...
I've seen it. Oh, that's kind of cute.
Right? Like, in my head, it's very much like you take a child's drawing of what they think an animal looks like. And that's what I imagine, where it's just kind of like weird things put together, and it's just like... Because it's like, I feel like Kokomo's, because they're made out of feelings, they're also made out of your imagination and things that aren't like, and I always like attribute feelings and that sense of trauma to childhood. Or children. And so like how you would personify feelings is something that children do. And so.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was thinking, like a drawing of what a child thinks an animal looks like. So it's wrong, but you kind of a semblance. It's kind of cute. It's just kind of wrong and a little weird. It has one too many appendages.
I won't lie. That would scare me a little bit.
Like
size version, I would be a little scared. Mine sound cute.
Yours sound adorable. I just imagine these things to be like kind of unsettling because they're
I think they're supposed to be,
Yeah. They're not supposed to be like, adorable and you want to just keep them forever like pets, though that would be really fun. I think they're more
they're supposed to be unsettling because it's hard, like it's hard for you to accept their presence. Like Will's like, what the heck, and Nico's like, I'm a father. He accepts them surprisingly fast, actually.
Well, he's also just like that. He's accepted anything that showed him a little bit of affection.
Yeah. I mean, even like the Trogs, like he's like, he's king of accepting things that don't fit into the binaries we have in our mind of how like things are supposed to be.
Yeah.
You go, Nico.
Father has stepped up.
He really is. Ugh, what an icon. Okay, well, next time we will be back. We will finish this book. So chapters 45 through, I think it's 51, through the end of this book. Exciting.
If you're interested in supporting us, the links to our Patreon, Ko-fi, and our merch will be in the episode description.
And if you're interested in getting your voice on the podcast, the link to send an audio message is also in the episode description. We'll have to do some kind of catch up on that because I have not listened to any of the recent ones yet.
Our social media is at Camp Half Pod, email camphalfpod@gmail.com. You can message us there to get an invite to our Discord.
Yes, and don't forget to rate and review as usual.
Bye-bye.